This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The race for the 9th Congressional District continues to make national headlines. Republican Mark Harris leads Democrat Dan McCready by 905 votes. The State Board of Elections has refused to certify those votes because of evidence of election fraud. At the center of the fraud allegations is a political operative named Leslie McCrae Dowless. He requested almost 600 absentee ballots and is accused of operating a team who went door-to-door collecting ballots from voters. That practice is illegal. Democrats and Republicans are calling for a full investigation. Last night, Dan McCready, the Democrat, withdrew his concession in light of the fraud allegations. And joining us now to talk about what he has seen in Bladen County is Kirk Ross, a legislative reporter for the Carolina Public Press and Coastal Review, and a correspondent for the Washington Post. Kirk, welcome back.
Great to be back, Frank.
So you're in Bladen County. Let's talk about what people were saying in terms of the allegations. What was actually happening?
Well, I did some traveling there the first 2 days by myself, and then Amy Gardner came down from D.C., and we got a photographer, and we had a set of affidavits that people had signed the penalty of perjury that laid out some of the details of this scheme or operation. They would go around a neighborhood, mostly poor, poor white, poor black neighborhood, telling people, "I'm here to make sure people vote." They had badges that said election something on them, and so they got people to request absentee ballots. One of the things they pushed was to get people who might have been registered Democrats to register as unaffiliated and to request an absentee ballot. I'm talking about the primary now is part of what I really focused on, mm-hmm. but this is the same style of operation that was used in the general. And they would send those absentee ballots in. Then that operation would track when the ballots were mailed out by the Board of Elections and go to the folks' house and say, "Did you get your ballot? Have you filled it out? I'm happy to take that for you." And oftentimes they would walk away with a ballot either filled out, not filled out, but signed and unsealed, and then go back to the headquarters and sort through them and make sure that they were votes for Mark Harris.
Now, that, if it is proved, would be illegal because we're not allowed to have other people take our absentee
right.
ballots
it's,
away
it's,
from us, right?
It's known as harvesting, and North Carolina has a incredibly strict anti-harvesting law. Jerry Cohen, former special counsel with the legislature, told me you can't even go if your neighbor hands you their ballot and says, "Can you put this in my mailbox?" You can't even do that. You know, it may be absurd at some levels, but as it turned out, one of the ways we discovered this was, or at least confirmed that this was the technique, was by these bulk mailings. You could see 23 ballots coming from one apartment complex all on the same day. And 20, that meant 23 people would have had to walk to the mailbox that day and put their ballots in.
So that's at least what causes suspicion. At the center of this is a man named McCray Dowless, right?
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about McCray Dowless.
Well, he's a character kind of right out of a Carl Hiaasen book, really. And he has, for at least since maybe 2010, been involved in politics in Bladen County and is kind of known as a fixer and a somebody who can deliver votes. And sure enough, he did. He delivered 96% of the mail-in ballots for Mark Harris in the primary, and which is a stunning number you don't really see anywhere.
Well, and that was another suspicious figure, which allowed the Board of Elections to say something's going on here.
Right.
Nobody gets that high a percentage of absentee ballots.
Right, right. And you know, the more we learned about his operation, the more just and looked at the data, which just we would have anecdotal. This was a sort of a shoe leather reporting / data reporting story. Where we're on the street learning about from people who actually did it or saw it or participated in it or got snookered to hand over their ballot, we were able to see them look at their address and see what happened to their ballot. And, you know, we were actually able at the end in our reporting on Sunday, just before we filed our story on Monday, the big Post story, and we were able to track geographically where the crews were working, that were working for Dallas. They went from here to here to here. You could see it in the numbers.
And we know that Dallas was hired by the Harris campaign. In fact, we just saw records today that right. said he's definitely hired by Harris. So Harris paid him.
Right.
And he'd been involved in some of this stuff before, allegations around this. Now, talk about the shoe leather part, because you went in and talked with people, many of whom had handed over their ballots, but they were afraid to talk to you for a while.
Well, I try to remind people that Bladen County right now is devastated by two consecutive major hurricanes in a few years, and you can see the effects of Hurricane Florence still there. I talked to people whose in houses had big holes in the roofs with plastic over them, and a lot of desperate people just trying to get by, and they concentrated on people on the margins. And you have to also remember that it was a disaster area just a few weeks before this happened. FEMA, other people, government officials are in and out of neighborhoods right. looking at things. So somebody knocking on your door saying, I'm with, you know, the elections folks and we're trying to make sure people get ballots and things like that, it wasn't that unusual. So some people were hoodwinked, and some people were probably willing participants and didn't care. And some people were doing it to go along and get along.
Well, let's talk to Rusty Jacobs now, WNC political reporter. Rusty, we just heard that Republican candidate Mark Harris acknowledged owing money to the Red Dome Group, and it was the Red Dome Group that hired the political consultant Dallas at the center of all of this. Is that a significant piece of information?
Pretty significant. I mean, Red Dome Group, a Charlotte consultancy, is one of the organizations subpoenaed by the State Elections Board to contribute to this ongoing investigation that seems, you'd have to be in a state of denial to not see it hurtling with increasing speed towards a possible new election.
Finish that thought.
And so Mark Harris, indeed, there was a filing with the Federal Elections Commission. There's a link up on the story on the WNC website that takes you to show you the filing that was done this week. I think just in the past day, showing that the Harris campaign owes $34,000 to the Red Dome Group, and that was the group that hired Dallas.
All right. Earlier in the week, when you spoke to the chair of the Republican Party, Dallas Woodhouse, he didn't seem too concerned. He sounds different now.
His position has certainly shifted, I think, with positions with a lot of people, because earlier in the week, he could kind of dismiss this as Democrats whining about a loss or a tight loss. Yesterday, he came out and said, without equivocation, that if the evidence shows with substantial likelihood that the outcome of this election could have been different, he would fully support a new election. Now, he also said that if the evidence shows that it would not have changed, regardless of wrongdoing, it should not, the results should be certified. Right now, we're at a 905-vote gap. Mark Harris in the lead. Uncertified results.
Uncertified results. We know that Dallas asked for 600 absentee ballots. That would be more than the margin of victory should you have to. We have a 900-vote margin right now.
Bladen is the kind of the epicenter of what's going on here, but Robeson County is involved as well, and we're talking about a combined at least 1,700 absentee ballots requested, not returned. So there does seem to be a big gap between what happened with those absentee ballots at the request point to when they were turned in or not turned in.
What are the grounds for a new election?
So there are four prongs or provisions in the state law covering when the State Board of Elections on its own authority can call for a new election. Now, three of those are kind of quantitative. If evidence shows either a sufficient number of ineligible voters were allowed to vote to change the outcome, eligible voters who were prevented from voting, or some other impropriety that led to that obvious evidence that the outcome would have been different. But there is a fourth prong, a fourth provision that really leaves it to the kind of the discretion of the board if there is enough evidence to taint the outcome, to show that the fairness was undermined. That could be grounds for calling an election. Now, that leaves a lot of latitude.
Well, also, the United States House of Representatives, which in January will be in the control of the Democratic Party, has the right to seat or not to seat.
Ultimately, it does come down to the House. There is a federal law, the Federal Contested Elections Act. Dan McCready, who has already come out and said, I did not go off to war. He's a combat veteran with the Marine Corps to fight for this kind of wrongdoing when it comes to elections. He, under that act, could make a challenge, and it would be up to the House of Representatives. It would start in committee, but would go to the full House. Again, Democratic majority coming in, and they could decide to not seat a member of Congress pending an investigation. And already we've heard from Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi, incoming speaker, who said they want to see this investigation, and they would not seat him unless the investigation was complete.
So in the 30 seconds you have left, what is next for the state?
Well, the Board of Elections, in its current construct, stays that way until December 12th. That might change. They might revert to the old law and become a five-member body, but they will hold a public hearing on this on or by December 21st.
All right. We will stay tuned. Rusty Jacobs, political reporter for WNC. Kirk Ross, legislative reporter for the Carolina Public Press, Coastal Review, and a correspondent for The Washington Post. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Coming up on The State of Things, why is North Carolina such a great state for music? We'll talk about the rich history as reported in the Oxford American. On The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.